Today, we are beginning a new three-part study based on Paul's letter to the Philippians, the fourth chapter, verses 6 and 7, of three features of God's provision that we need to embrace when it comes to combating anxiety in our life. First of all, and this is going to be the focus of our study for today, we must embrace the command to combat anxiety in our life. Secondly, we must embrace the answer for combating anxiety in our life. And then finally, we must embrace the effect of combating anxiety in our life. So with that, we invite you to join with us for today's study.
This morning, I encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament book of Paul's letter to the Philippians. And there I'd like to read from the fourth chapter, verses 6 and 7, as we focus our thoughts today on God's provision for combating anxiety in your life. Once again, we'll be reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I want to begin by asking you, how many of you worry? And be honest. How many of you worry? How many of you regularly experience anxiety about different things in your life? How many of you are okay with that? How many of you think that suffering from anxiety is an acceptable response for the Christian life? That is, suffering from anxiety is okay. We must expect to suffer in this way because it's just a natural part of life. And finally, how many of you think that worry or anxiety is a sin? While worry or anxiety is quite pervasive in our culture, and while many of us as Christians often find ourselves struggling with anxiety in one form or another and in varying degrees, and while we may acknowledge that anxiety and the effects that it causes are not good, at the same time, we may be somewhat reluctant to call worry sin. I mean, it's not like we're going out and killing someone. It's not like we're stealing from some individual. But if you remember, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, sin is defined as the transgression of the law. That means that sin is doing what God has expressly forbidden or failing to do what God has expressly commanded. In other words, sin is doing what God has said don't do or not doing what God has said for us to do. So in light of this, it seems to me that worry or anxiety can be viewed as sinful because very clearly we are taught, we are commanded not to worry. For example, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, we have this discussion by Christ. He states, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day
is its own trouble. Now, in this passage, five times Jesus speaks about not worrying. In fact, on three of those occasions, he expressly states, "Do not worry." Now, the King James Version uses the phrase, "take no thought," which basically means, "don't worry." And this same term in the Greek, which is used here, is also the same word used in verse 7 of Philippians chapter 4. But there it's translated as, "be careful for nothing." In the New King James Version, in the Matthew passage, it states, "do not worry." And here in the Philippian passage, it is translated as, "be anxious for nothing." But the point that I'm actually after is that in both of these passages, this idea of not worrying is given in the imperative mood, which simply means that it's given as a command. Both Jesus and Paul are not suggesting that we not worry. They are commanding that we not worry. So if we are commanded not to worry, and we go ahead and worry anyway, what else can that be but sin? And so this is how we need to approach this concept of worry or anxiety. That this is sin, and that this is a sin that we need to be delivered from, and also that this is a sin for which God has made provision. Now, in this passage, Paul presents three features of God's provision that we need to embrace when it comes to combating anxiety in our life. First of all, we must embrace the command to combat anxiety in our life. And this is the point that we're going to be looking at today. The second point is, we must embrace the answer for combating anxiety in our life. And then finally, we must embrace the effect of combating anxiety in our life. With that in mind, read with me from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. By inspiration, the Apostle Paul writes, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Now again, worry or anxiety is a major part of human existence. And the reality is that Christians, more often than not, have participated in this experience more than they care to admit, or more than they realize. But as we pointed out, anxiety must be viewed as sin, and therefore must be eliminated from one's life. And in order for us to begin to do this, we must take a very serious look at this passage of Scripture and carefully put into practice what God requires. Now this brings us to our first main point for today. We must embrace the command to combat anxiety in our life. Go back and look at verse 6 with me again. There Paul writes, "Be anxious for nothing." As I've already noted, grammatically this is given in the imperative mood, indicating a command. We are not to be anxious for anything. Now, to understand this command, we have to have some understanding of the subject of the command. That is, what is it that we are not supposed to do? Well, again, Paul indicates that we are not to be anxious for nothing. The term anxious basically refers to worry. In essence, these are synonymous terms. It means to take thought of, that is, to focus on or to be preoccupied with some particular thing or event. Now, of course, this is in a negative way. It's not like meditation, where you think about something that leads to something positive. This preoccupation focuses on something negative or sinful that has happened or that we may be facing in life, something that may have adverse consequences for us, and over something that we probably have little or no control over. In fact, this is an essential feature of anxiety. And so what happens is that we become fixated on this particular thing. It's all that we can think about. We play it over and over and over again in our minds. We become consumed about the possible outcomes, most of which don't seem to be good at all. Now, another resource speaks of anxious as meaning to draw or to pull in different directions. The idea is that of to distract, which is also another major feature of anxiety. Anxiety becomes distracting. Now, I know that you can identify with what I have said here in some way. There have been moments in your life that because of some particular thing or things that you're facing, you felt like you were being pulled apart in several different directions, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And it seemed like that was all that you could think about. Now, it is at this point that I want us to begin to see something of the sinfulness of anxiety. That it's not some harmless thing. That it's not one of those, quote, acceptable sins that we sometimes think is okay. I am convinced that worry or anxiety is actually a horrific sin. Even though it's a very common sin, it is horrific because of its direct assault against God Himself, against the very nature and character of God. Now, in saying that, I'm sure that there are those who object by saying something like this. Oh, no, wait a minute. When I worry, when I'm all stressed out, when I'm experiencing anxiety, I'm not thinking about God. I'm not thinking anything bad about God. I'm busy thinking about myself. I'm thinking about my problems. I'm thinking about what's going to happen, what might happen. And I'm trying to think if there's anything that I can do. But you see, this is precisely the point. Anxiety is not about God. Anxiety is about us. Anxiety is about our problems. Anxiety is about our attempting to find our own solutions. And anxiety is about our lack of faith and trust in God. Anxiety is not about being God-centered, where everything revolves around God. Anxiety is about being self-centered, where everything revolves around me, my problems, and my attempted solutions. So, in a word, anxiety is very much about being distracted. Instead of focusing on what we're supposed to be focusing on, we now become fixated on ourselves, our problems, and our response to those problems. So again, worry or anxiety is an attack on God. It's an attack on who He is, His power, His wisdom, and His faithfulness. Now let's go back and look at these. First of all, anxiety is an attack on God and His power. But what exactly does this mean? How is this done? Well, in Scripture, which includes God's self-revelation of Himself to us, we discover God going to great lengths to demonstrate or to reveal just what kind of God He is. And the summation of that revelation is that He alone is God, and that He alone possesses absolute power and authority. Now, there are numerous passages that deal with this, but one in particular that I want to note comes from Psalm 86, verses 8 through 10. The psalmist writes, "Among the gods there is none like You, O Lord, nor are there any works like Your works. All nations whom You have made shall come and worship before You, O Lord, and shall glorify Your name. For You are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God." You see, when we worry, when we allow ourselves to become engulfed in anxiety, we become what some have called practical atheists, which simply means that while we say we believe in God, and we may actually believe in God, but in return, we are actually living as if we don't believe in God. Again, anxiety does not focus on God, it focuses on us. Anxiety does not focus on God's power, it focuses deceptively on what we think are our powers and our abilities. And so what happens is that this robs God of our proper acknowledgement and recognition of who He is. And we can also say the worship that is due him because of who he is. And so the end result is that anxiety actually produces a form of idolatry. It diminishes truth about God and exalts lies about us. So anxiety is an attack on God and his power. Secondly, anxiety is an attack on God's wisdom. Now, this often takes the form of, God, why did you let this happen to me or to my loved one? This is a negative questioning or doubting how God is working in your life. Now, I'll be the first one to raise my hand and admit, I don't always understand why God does some of the things that he does, especially when it comes to my own life. I struggle with these things, the types of things that happen, the pain or the hurtfulness of the things that happen, the extent of things that happen, the purpose of things that happen. There are many times when I just simply don't know. Now, it is not a sin to ask why, if there is some sincere desire to know or to learn from what God is doing in your life. But to cross the line and doubt or question God's wisdom in doing whatever he may be doing in your life, that is sin. And this is where worry or anxiety can sometimes take us. Now, God consistently works in our life. He is a God of purpose, which simply means that there is a reason behind everything God does. God is a God of wisdom, which means that what he does has the best purpose in mind and the best ways to reach those purposes. Now, the ultimate purpose behind anything is for God's own glory. And behind that is for our spiritual growth and development. So when we face difficulties or challenges in life, we have to keep in mind that God is working. Now, this idea of anxiety being an attack on God's wisdom can also take the form of stressing about or refusing to do what God instructs us to do when facing a certain problem, because we don't want to do things God's way. We want to do things our way, either because we think God's way isn't going to work, or it's too difficult, or it requires too much of us. So the sin here is very basic and straightforward. It is rejecting God's wisdom and relying on our own understanding. Now here, I want to read two passages of Scripture. The first comes from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. Here the prophet writes, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, the writer says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." So anxiety is an attack on the wisdom of God. It is a rejection of God's wisdom in doing whatever he is doing in our life, and it is a rejection of doing things God's way, which is always, always wise. Now, finally, anxiety is an attack on the faithfulness of God. Now, in God's self-revelation of himself in Scripture, one feature that stands out in particular is his faithfulness, which simply means that God will always do what he said he will do. Now, the reason that this is so important is because this is a quality that is connected to other vital qualities of God, moral attributes such as his love, his truthfulness, his goodness, his holiness, his mercy, and his righteousness. These form the basis of God's faithfulness. Now, we all know how important it is to be able to depend on someone, and how devastating it can be when that trust is violated, when that person fails to do what they said they would do. Now, if it's beyond their control, we tend to be somewhat understanding. But if they just simply choose not to follow through with what they said they were going to do, that can hurt us emotionally and create a lot of problems for us. Now, in contrast, God wants us to know that we can trust Him. We can depend upon Him. In fact, in Scripture, He goes to great lengths to demonstrate that for us in His Word and in His actions towards us. For example, Scripture shows us that God is consistently faithful to us when it comes to His love for us, when it comes to His guiding us, His provisions for us, His protection of us, and in Him strengthening us. And the list can go on and on. When we worry, when we are consumed by anxiety, we inadvertently overlook or forget about God's faithfulness. And we begin to look to ourselves for strength or answers or to something else. And again, what happens is that we become practical atheists. We are living as if God, or at least the God of Scripture, does not exist. Now, I want you to listen to what Jeremiah writes in Lamentations. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, he says, "Through the Lord's mercies," and one translation says, "because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness." So anxiety is an attack on God's faithfulness. Now, in all of these ways that we have mentioned, and there are many other ways that we've not mentioned, worry distracts us from God. It distracts us from daily loving Him and daily serving Him. Worry and anxiety consumes our time, and it drains our energy. When we are engulfed with worry, that takes away from what we should be and could be doing in the service of Jesus Christ. Worry and anxiety also creates a very depressing effect. I don't know about you, but I've never seen anyone that was depressed go around smiling and laughing. That just doesn't happen. When people are fixated on their problems, their circumstances, there is a natural progression towards depression. And not only that, but there's also numerous physical issues that are associated with worry and anxiety. One of the main issues that secular mental health professionals have to deal with is stress-related fears and worries, anxiety. In fact, numerous Christian counselors face this same sin in their counseling ministries. Anxiety affects so many of us, but we do not have to live in bondage to anxiety. We can live in the freeness that God provides for us. And in the following messages, we'll note more specifically about those things. But first, as we've emphasized today, we have to embrace the command to combat anxiety in our life. Be anxious for nothing. Again, this is a command. It is something that we have to do. It is something that we have to work at. And I use the term combat in a purposeful way, because we have to engage this sin of anxiety, this sin of worry. And so we have to come to that point that we are going to fight back. We are going to fight against it. That we are not going to live our lives dominated by anxiety and stress and fear. We are not going to be anxious for anything. And one of the great ways that helps us to get started towards that objective is to realize the horrific nature of worry, that it is an attack against God and His power. Anxiety is an attack on God's wisdom, and anxiety is an attack on God's faithfulness. Now, let me emphasize that
it's not limited to these things. There are other things that fall prey to anxiety as it relates to God as well. But I wanted to demonstrate something of the sinfulness of anxiety. And hopefully by the Spirit's ministry, that would help to motivate us to have a stronger desire to break out of anxiety and to live a life of reliance and trust and faith in God. So with that, we'll close and encourage you to be with us for our next study as we continue with this basic idea of overcoming anxiety in our life. Until next week, may the Lord bless you, is our prayer.